This morning, we are going to be looking at Matthew 21:1-17. I titled this message kind of humorously, but then realistically, Why Not Coat Sunday? Today is Palm Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday because of what we're going to be reading about in this wonderful story or account. It's not a story, it's an account of what God did in the life of Christ. We've done this before. We've looked at all four accounts of this because they're all a little bit different. And there are four accounts. And when you see the same thing written in the Synoptic Gospels and John, then they all said, this is important that we have this in here. Now, I wasn't going to preach on this. I was going to begin our next five-year journey through the book of Joshua. But I thought I'd just spend these couple of weeks, since the world's focused so much on this season, to go into it. But recognizing and remembering that this is not a special holiday outside of it. It's the Lord's Day. It is a time that God has given us. And next week, I know many people will celebrate Easter, but we'll celebrate the resurrection. And we should each week, but we do forget sometimes. We get caught up in the teaching, and sometimes I'll walk away from the pulpit and go, I didn't preach Christ. And that's what we're to be preaching, Christ and His work. And so let me read through these first 17 verses, and then we'll look some more at some of the other things, but we'll consider what this says. And it's entitled The Triumphal Entry. And it says, Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them, and He will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your Lord is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed him. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks as he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple. And he drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes, have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies? You have prepared praise. And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. The picture that is given here is they laid their cloaks down on the ground, and there seemed to be enough of a multitude there that I'm not thinking that there were a few and they were running back and forth grabbing their cloaks to lay them ahead. But the people were laying their cloaks down. We saw they laid the branches down, which was a sign of doing this majesty coming into the town. But also, it would be much more important for one to lay their cloak down into the dirt, because this is pretty much what people had. They didn't have an extra coat. So for them to lay their coat down, and that's why it said, why not coat Sunday? They're saying, this is important. This is the Lord. Let me lay this down so that you might walk over that and not have to touch the dirt of the ground. Again, R.C. Sproul made it clear, though, one time, the dirt is much less sinful than we are. It's cleaner in its nature. Now, by the way, there's one thing that Jesus told his disciples to do this. And it says in verse 6, and the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. I want you to give close attention to that. His disciples at this point again were finally beginning to understand that when Jesus told them to do something, there wasn't always a matter of questioning him about it. They did what they were told to do. Now, brought the question, what do we do? What we have been commanded to do? Has Christ honestly, can you say, has made a triumphal entry into your life? Or does it not look that way? By the way, he has. If you're in Christ, he has. But does it look that way? As you look at it, have you recognized him as such? Have you laid down your cloak before him? Well, let's turn over to Mark chapter 11. I'll give you time to get there if you'd like to follow me. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now, I hope you've been paying close attention when I read the first account, because I want you to pay close attention. I want you to notice the little differences. And by the way, some people in the church or outside the church today try to use this to say, see, there's a contradiction. One says this and the other says that and the other says this. And they're not seeing things from the right perspective. There is no contradiction. There's just a fuller account of this event that took place as it is given from the perspective and the remembrance of each of these men as the Holy Spirit has brought it back into their mind. We forget that these are not books that are, quote, written by men. These are the words of God that are directed through their lives, through their memories. It is the Holy Spirit here who writes these words. Chapter 11 in Mark, verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. And they went away, and they found the colt tied to a door outside in the street. And they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And he sat on it, and many spread their cloaks on the road. And others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. It Did you see some of the little minor differences that were in there? Just the little things that were there. Did you notice that this was a colt upon which no one had ever sat? I was thinking about that. I was thinking that this colt was reserved in all of eternity for Christ Himself to sit on. What an honor to be that colt. But then again, what an honor it is to be you. That God has given you that to serve Him in a unique way. The colt, yes, no one had ever sat upon it. And I don't know if anyone sat upon it after Jesus did. It didn't say that it died. Untie it and bring it to me. And then there's a group of people here that are asking Him. But let me go over to the next one. Let me go to Luke and to that account. Now, did you notice there that it didn't say much about the temple there? Just kind of a little passing, and then they went by. And here it is in Luke in chapter 19, verses 28 down through 40. And by the way, let me encourage you, later today, if you feel up to it, look at what comes right before in each of these instances. What had taken place right before. And you'll see some other wonderful things. But here it reads in chapter 19, verses 28 and onward. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering it you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying it, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down to the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he answered, I tell you, if they were silent, these very stones would cry out. And then it follows that he wept for Jerusalem. Did you notice some of the differences there and some of the similarities? Again, they saw it necessary to point out that no one has sat on this colt. This had some significance. The owner said something to him this time. Does that mean that the other account was wrong where it said a group of people saw it and asked him? No. Obviously, the owner was among that group of people. But he specifies here that somebody knew that this was the owner. What they're singing out, did you notice that the praises they're singing out are a little bit different in each one? It doesn't mean that one's saying this and that. All these things were being said by the disciples, and this was the whole multitude of disciples saying, blessed is the King. They're making this proclamation. The Pharisees are being upset by this proclamation and say, listen to what they're saying. Rebuke them. And what does Jesus say? If they were silent, the very stones would cry out. Now that's a statement. If they had not spoken out in those praises, the stones of the ground would have cried out the same words. And by the way, we know this can happen because the donkey speaks. God can speak through whatever He wants to. He chose to use the people. And Jesus was being very clear to the Pharisees here. I am indeed that king that they speak of. I am that Lord they proclaim me to be. Let me go over to the last account here. I just think this is wonderful to look through these. This is in John chapter 12, verses 12 down through 16. And again, after we read this, then there's a whole different thing going on of what takes place. And it doesn't, again, mean that one says this took place. All these things were taking place. They were kind of, more than one thing takes place at the same time in the life of Christ. It says the next day. Oh, let me read before then. Let me start at 9 because I just want to kind of take you through here. This is after Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany, and it says in verse 9, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priest made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Oh, how wonderful. They were going away and believing in King Jesus. They wanted to kill Lazarus too. Let's kill him again. Maybe we kill him enough times, he'll stay dead. But God would have brought him back again had they done it. It says, the next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him. What a wonderful way to end this. The Pharisees there are, all that we have done has been worth nothing. They're all going after him. Oh, what a wonderful picture we see here that God is doing in the life of Christ, through the works of Christ, through the miracles he has done, through the things he has proclaimed. And that many were coming to believe in him. Oh, what a wonderful story this is. And then we see that not very far down the road at all, so many of these would be deserting him. When the miracles stop and the great things seem to cease sometimes in our life, then if we don't get the things we crave, we're looking for, then we kind of meander away. I wanted to read these accounts today to remind you that Christ has indeed been triumphal. He was indeed making the proclamation in how he came into that city today that he was indeed the Messiah that had been proclaimed to them through all of the prophets, who had been proclaimed since the very beginning. Remember that this revelation of who Christ was a progressive work that took place slowly. And we see the same thing in our own lives. The work that Christ is doing in our life is progressive. It's not all at once. Here's all of it for you, Israel. They got a little bit, and 200 years later they got a little more, and 200 years later they saw a little more, and on and on. And I want to remind you today that Christ is and should be triumphant in your life. He has come into your life in such a way, a humble way. I remember I was just preaching through Philippians again in Ireland and looking at the whole picture of the humble Christ, the humility of Christ. Christ didn't come riding in on a war horse. Not there anyway. That's the picture we see in Revelation. That's when he comes again. Then it will be different. But here we see the gentle Christ coming in, not proclaiming victory in the same way, but in all essence being quite victorious in what he has done. Because much of what Christ did and much of what Christ said was to make it clear that I am fulfilling the very prophecies that were proclaimed to you. The prophecies that these people knew, and still they continued, for the most part, to reject him. Although we see a large crowd here, it wasn't most of Israel who took Christ to be their Savior. It was a portion. It's always a portion type thing. So I encourage us as we have opportunity. This is one of the two times of year that people talk about Jesus. There's that Christmas time, and then there's Easter. And you'll find even more that this will be, next week will be the week that more people will go to church than any time of the year. Easter Sunday. They call them Easter Christians. They come home once a year. And I say this, they are no Christians at all. Otherwise, they would understand that the Lord's Day, every week, is the day we should be rejoicing and worshiping God. I had somebody say to me last night, "Happy Holy Week." And how did I respond? Yeah, you too. Instead of saying, but we need to be aware, we need to think and say, what do you mean by a happy Holy Week? Thankfully, I have the option of going back to the person and saying, by the way, what did you mean by Happy Holy Week? Was there a week that wasn't holy and set apart for God? Or did God tell us that this is the Holy Week of all the holy weeks? Because we do have opportunity to gently and with humility, the same humility of Christ, that same gentleness, that same meekness, to talk to people about the truth of Christ as the Bible presents it. So I encourage you this week, as we have that blessing of talking to people, and some people will be saying, and will cringe at the words, at least I cringe, when they say, what are you doing for Easter? And I gently say, I'm not doing anything for Easter. I'm going to church on Sunday. But we have the opportunity to proclaim to them the very real reality of what that day is. That it is the resurrection. We're looking at this. We see the triumphal entry, but then we see the arrest. Then we see the beating. Then we see the cross. But then we see the resurrection. Oh, that we can joy in that fact that he is no longer the grave. Well, let us pray. Our Lord God Almighty, again, we thank you today for the accounts that were written in all four of the writings here. And we pray, Lord, that we will give them consideration, that we will rejoice in the way that you chose to do this, that we would make the same proclamations that were done here. That Jesus, the King, has indeed come. And he is setting up kingdom, his kingdom. And Lord, we are again indeed looking forward to the fulfillment of that. But help us each to be clearly considering what we're doing with our time and how we're using it. And if we're being a part of his building up his kingdom, or if we're just standing on the sidelines watching it take place. Father, help each one of us to be a part of this. Help each one of us to rejoice in that work that Christ had done there, but more importantly, the work that he had done upon the cross, and that work that was accomplished in fulfillment at the resurrection, and that work that will be brought to its complete fulfillment at that last and great day. Oh Lord, help us to be crying regularly, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Amen.